Welcome back to the Orange County Summit for a conversation on small business services. And now, your host, Aaron Keck.
Back to the 2019 Orange County Summit, co-hosted by 97.9 The Hill WCHL, Orange County Government, and the Orange County Board of Commissioners. We have reached the end of the eighth of our eight panels of the day, and as you may have heard from Commissioner Earl McKee in our last panel, we're talking about recruitment of large businesses, but small businesses are at least equally important, if not more important, when it comes to economic development in Orange County. So fittingly, we're going to keep that conversation going by talking about small businesses and small business services. Joined on the panel right now by Barbara Jesse Black, who's the executive director of the PTA Thrift Shop, Mike Ortosky, who is the agriculture economic developer for Orange County. Amanda Garner is the assistant director of Orange County Economic Development. Kelly Owensby is with Transplanting Traditions, which we'll hear more about in a few minutes, one of the recipients of the county's agriculture grant, and we're also joined on the panel by County Commissioner Penny Rich. So thanks again to all five of you for joining us, and to all of you who are either watching or listening out there on County Government TV or on WCHL. And if you are listening out there, you want to listen back to previous panels or re-listen to this one, you can get all of the audio on our website, chapelboro.com. It's going up even as we speak, and it'll be there after that. So Commissioner Penny Rich, I'll start with you, and I'll just kind of pick up the conversation from where Commissioner McKee left it. He talked about the importance of small businesses to Orange County's overall economy. Elaborate on that. How important are small businesses?
Yeah, first of all, Aaron, I want to thank you for you're like the little energized bunny rabbit that you just keep going. It's pretty amazing. 4 hours later, and here we are. So small businesses are really important in Orange County. It just falls in line with our values and what Orange County is actually has grown on. I'm a small business owner, so I really appreciate everything that the county and the towns have done for small business owners. I know that we have lots of questions how we're spending our dollars, and we're going to hear from someone today that has actually gotten a grant. But it helps our small business. The grants help our small business exist. They sometimes can't get loans from banks. They're startups. And we give them the opportunity to get some funds and start up. And, you know, they can grow. We want to keep them here in Orange County, so we're willing to support them any way we can.
And over to Amanda Garner with Orange County Economic Development. Penny mentioned a couple, but tell us about some of the initiatives that Orange County has to assist small businesses, grant programs, and otherwise.
Right. So as was mentioned, it's funded by the Article 46 quarter cent sales tax that was started back in 2011, but the program started in 2015. There's a small business investment grant program that has funded over 140 grants for small businesses throughout the community. Over $700,000 have gone to businesses for everything from purchasing equipment to helping fund staff, helping these businesses to grow and expand and to be able to stay in the community. We also have a loan program that we operate that can help if people need larger sums of money. We can also help with space. Space is it's a really tight market in our area for businesses. And so we can help locate space throughout the county. We work with the various towns on locating spaces for businesses that are already located in some of our communities. So there's a variety of ways that we can assist small businesses to help them thrive within the community.
And I know we'll hear one of the success stories from Kelly Owensby of Transplanting Traditions in a couple of minutes, but you're able to track the success of some of the businesses that received the loans and grants. What are some other success stories?
Yeah, so we put out a booklet annually that kind of shares what the funding went towards for these businesses that have received it. For many of them, it's purchasing equipment that helps them to expand the services that they provide, which then increases their profits, which allows them to buy more or to hire more local individuals to be part of these these businesses. We have a number of, well, we have two grant programs, so one that's funded by the agricultural side and then the business investment side, and each of those kind of serve a little different purpose. Michael will talk about his, but we're able to work with a number of businesses in the community that have utilized those funds for expanding their staffing and allowing them to continue to grow.
And over to Mike Rotosky with Agricultural Economic Development. Tell us about the Ag Grant Program.
Yeah, the Ag Grant Program is probably one of the most rewarding things, being able to see money go to producers and production-oriented items, whether it's infrastructure, services, whatever it might be, and be able to go out a few months later and see that item on the ground and what it's meant in terms of not only increasing the income ability of a particular farm, but also increasing their income indirectly flows into other businesses in the area. And it's one of many things we do. We have the Breeze Farm, which is an incubator farm, Piedmont Food Processing Center, and a series of things. But the Ag Grant thing program, we have about $475,000 given out now to about 60-plus recipients, of which Transplanting Traditions is just one. They have a very unique story that you'll hear, but it's rewarding to see it to sort of catalyze change on a particular farm.
This is the same question that I asked to Lori Policelli a couple of hours ago, I think, about tourism, but give us numbers when it comes to the agricultural side of Orange County's economy. It's such a significant component, and it's not something that gets nearly enough discussion. So what should people know about the state of the agricultural economy in Orange County, and how important is it to the overall economic health of our region?
Right, and we have a diverse ag economy. In terms of numbers, I would send people. It's a really good. It's a USDA agricultural census. One just came out. It's finished in 2018, and the numbers have come out in 2019. But typically, what that shows is, and I don't have the exact quantitative numbers in front of me, but Orange County typically is growing in numbers of farms, which is odd, and the size is probably falling a bit. So that talks about sort of the conventional and traditional farming that has happened in years past is diversifying a bit. So you have more people in farming in Orange County than you did the last ag census 5 years ago and 10 years ago. But you also have a growing number of people in direct sales, whether it's a CSA, a farmer's market, and so forth. So what's missing in the country in general is sort of the old days when I grew up in Durham County of farming in the middle, and it was supported by tobacco and other things, but they were fairly diverse farms. Farming has gotten bigger in lots of parts of the country, and it's gotten smaller in others, and we're proud to say that here it's diversified. We still have a lot of traditional conventional farms, but the growth among sort of farming in the middle and some of the smaller direct sales farms is happening, and that provides opportunity for everybody at every scale.
What facilitates that in Orange County? What's the economic infrastructure that allows for that to happen? I listened to you say that, and my mind immediately goes to, we've got 48 farmers markets in Orange County, and I think it's less than that technically, yeah. But we've got such a great farm-to-table restaurant scene in Orange County. There are just so many things that facilitate that, but what are the kind of the key driving factors there?
I really think it's market, and that's I'm glad you asked that, because we do a lot of things to support the growers and the, sort of the supply side in our Ag Summit and other things. But part of what I'm trying to do is help grow the market. If you have a broader market, then you have more opportunities for farmers to scale up, to go into a different market, whatever. But in the Triangle area in general, and certainly in Orange County, there's a culture, there's a demand. It's one of the areas in the country where demand for regional, safe, transparent, story-based farming is growing. And so we're a leader. When I travel around the country at various events, North Carolina is seen as a leader, and our area in this particular county is seen a leader in North Carolina. So the sort of the informed market that we have here is probably the single biggest driver for that. There's a demand for that. People want to know where their food's coming from. They want to know that it's safe, and they want to know that they're supporting an economy and a way of life that traditionally has been here and something that we can continue to grow.
When you say story-based farming, do you mean like, this is me, this is who I am, this is
yes.
my farm, come see?
Yeah. Exactly. They want to know that whether it was Earl McKee's farm or Transplanting Traditions, they want to be able to say, wow, I know that by purchasing this, and that's the biggest issue in our economy, we vote with our dollar every day. We have a lot of initiatives trying to change demand and policy and that sort of thing. But it's really about getting people to vote with their dollar, and that changes things more quickly than anything else.
Well, let's get one of those stories. Kelly Owensby is with Transplanting Traditions, one of the recipients of the agriculture grant that that Mike mentioned a couple of minutes ago. Kelly, tell us about yourself. Tell us about Transplanting Traditions.
Yeah, so Transplanting Traditions is a nonprofit, and we have a lot of different programs. A lot of them are around food security. But we also operate a farm business incubator. We are unique in a lot of ways, but very specifically, we work with the refugee population that we have in Orange County. 90% of the Orange County's refugee population is from Burma, and Burma is also known as Myanmar, is a very agrarian country, so the refugee population comes with a really strong agricultural background. Folks come to Orange County with a lot of challenges around resettlement, you know, language. They come from a country where civil war really disrupted education, and they come from a country in which, you know, kind of a modern technological world is not their reality. So we provide a opportunity for folks to start farm businesses using the skills that they had in their home country. So we do that through providing a lot of access to education. We do marketing education. We operate a large CSA, which Mike talked a little bit about, which is community-supported agriculture, a vegetable subscription program. We help farmers get into farmers markets. We have a farmer who we are very excited just won a very prestigious flower farming scholarship. And she has just recently started her cut flower farming business. So it's a place for farmers to start their own small farm businesses and expand. This is our ninth year, and we've got an 8-acre farm that's in Chapel Hill.
Awesome. How many people do you work with?
Right now we work with 26 families. We've worked with over 100 different refugee families over the past 9 years. Many of them have, you know, left Transplanting Traditions and started small businesses where they have bought land and homes and are growing and selling themselves.
What led you to start that work?
I actually originally, for many years, worked on small farms. You know, started a small farm with a partner and then got into nonprofit work through a community gardening initiative. And basically in 2007, the United States started opening up our doors to a lot of refugees from Burma. A lot of those refugees got resettled in Orange County. Orange County has one of the largest refugee populations in North Carolina. And those folks started immediately coming to this community gardening program that I was running. Upon resettlement, you know, the desire to recreate home is very important. And for folks who come from such a strong agrarian agricultural background, being able to grow your own food was, I think, one of a lot of our family's first instincts. So we kind of grew from there over the years. Started very small, and now feel very big at 8 acres at this point.
So how has the ag grant and other support from Orange County helped you?
Yeah, so we received the ag grant 4 years ago, and again just this year. 4 years ago, we were able to basically double the size of the farm through infrastructure. So we were able to fund new fencing, a well, a new barn that we were able to therefore then really increase the income that our farmers make. So this year, we'll bring in about $166,000 in income directly to farmers, which can sound like a lot or a little depending on the audience. For our farmers, it's really a significant amount of income for their lives. And that grant really helped us to do that. We had completely run out of space. Folks were not able to expand their businesses. So we were at this really crucial or critical bottleneck.
And then this year, we provide a lot of agritourism opportunities as well. We do things like dinners. We have about 700 folks who come and tour and visit the farm each year. And we are having some really exciting upgrades to our bathrooms, which have really been quite a limiting factor to having the guest satisfaction level that we've wanted to have. So we're really, and our farmers are incredibly excited about that as well.
I'm not going to ask for the
specifics.
Yeah,
it's great. Okay. It's great. I kept it vague.
So we've been talking about the agricultural side of Orange County's economy and the significance there. Nonprofits also an extremely important part of Orange County's economy. And for that, we turn to Barbara Jessie Black, who's the executive director of what is still the PTA Thrift Shop, soon to be Community Works. Tell us about your work with PTA and how Orange County government and that relationship has helped you?
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. So part of, much like Transplanting Traditions, we received the grant to really enhance what we were doing. And one of the things that that we like to highlight is the fact that we are considered a major employer. We employ 40 individuals between our Chapel Hill and our Carrboro location, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you think about nonprofit organizations generally and how they contribute to the town's ecosystem and the county's ecosystem, it's considered a large amount. And so we actually, most of our employees come to us through some sort of partnership with other organizations. And over the years, this grant that we participated in with Orange County was to help us create a job skills training program in partnership with CEF. It had been our experience that every time we sort of opened up our application pool, we received a lot of applications from CEF. And for those of you that aren't familiar with CEF, it's Community Empowerment Fund, and their main sort of goal is to help under-resourced and underemployed individuals find work and that sort of, and housing and those sorts of things in our community. And so we realized that we did not have the bandwidth to necessarily to participate with all of the applicants that we were getting from CEF. But we also realized that we had a really unique opportunity to help some of those individuals really up their game as it related to skills. And, the thrift shop is one of those opportunities where there are a myriad of skills that you can learn just by virtue of all the different things that we do on a day-to-day basis. And so we thought, what if we, because we can't hire everybody from CEF, what if we have a partnership with them that really enhances the skill level of some of their clients who then, if we do have an opportunity to hire them, they stay with us. If not, there's a certificate program that is placed with them after their 90 days with us, and then they go off into the, into the other world and work. And so we realized that we didn't have the funds to facilitate that in earnest and thought that, okay, this would be an opportunity for us to expand what we do and enhance what we do, but also to sort of level up our game relative to our partnerships with other organizations. And so we wrote a grant based on this particular program. And, of course, the program, we were keenly aware that the program had to be facilitated by CEF, so they were vetting their clients and bringing them to us, and then we would do the rest. We would have job shadowing and that kind of thing. And so over the course of we received the grant about 4 years ago, and as you might imagine, as the receiver of clients, if there aren't any clients that are participating in the way that CEF wanted them to, we didn't get fed as many clients as we thought we would, which is interesting because, when we opened our application pool, we were getting lots of applicants from CEF. However, the job skills training program, the first couple of years, was really a good program, especially for community members who were under-resourced and underemployed. And so from that particular program, those first 2 years, we had about 5 employees that stayed, that came to us from CEF through this program and then stayed with us a period of time until, some of those folks were seniors. And so, when it was time to collect Social Security, they decided to leave us. But I would say that, not having had that grant, we would not have been able to even, think about doing that because there is a certain risk associated with it. And you're not, as an employer, you're not guaranteed you know, someone that will stay with you for longer periods of time. So it was a nice partnership, and our goal is to continue that partnership, just possibly in a different way, because we're still connected to CEF.
And I think that's a really significant story, because the grant program in this case, and I think in all of the cases, when the grant program is successful, it doesn't just help the business or the nonprofit, it affects the lives of individual people in a positive
way.
Absolutely,
yeah.
So over to Amanda Garner. We know with Orange County Economic Development, I think those of us who know the PTA Thrift Shop know how important it is to Orange County community and culture, and also to the economy. Just the nonprofit sector in general, though, how important is that to Orange County's economy?
Right, and if you look at the numbers and the figures, and I can't quote it right off of the top of my head, but they make up a significant portion of the employment within the community, and they're the wages that they pay are good wages. So it's an important piece that we keep in mind. And, you know, as Steve was talking about in the last segment, I think we are developing and we have a diverse economy that allows opportunities for people, regardless of what your interest is. We're creating those opportunities and continuing to grow those opportunities so that people can work in fields that they enjoy and can help the community thrive that way.
And over to Commissioner Penny Rich, because we're talking about the small business economy and what Orange County can do to support that and the nonprofit economy as well. But the existence of so many nonprofits and the extent to which we're able to help them and support that economy also makes it easier, I imagine, for county government to get a lot of its goals achieved as
well.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right? We rely on our nonprofits, and we are very lucky, as Amanda said, to have so many, but we try not to repeat what they're doing. And so if they're you know, helping our community, doing, for example, a CEF or the PTA Thrift Shop, that's something that the Orange County Commissioners just say, you know, we don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be duplicating it. Thankfully, we have the nonprofits. I think a really important point is for in both of the conversations here, both ag and small business, is that we're providing grants, which are in some cases providing salaries, which in some cases those folks that are living in Orange County are then spending that money in Orange County. So it becomes back to this sort of circular economy, where we're really making sure that we're taking care of people here, but we're also making sure that they're staying here so they can spend the money here that they earn. I'm really it's great to hear these two stories. I haven't heard these stories in a while, so as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, wow, you know, this program really is so significant. And I know it took a while to get off the ground. We were collecting money for a while just to you know, enhance the coffers before we started the program. But now we're up and running, and it's just amazingly exciting that we can have these small companies and these nonprofits. And it's sort of, like I said at the beginning, this is the values of Orange County. This is what we are growing on. So I'm just so happy to be partners with everyone.
We've got to begin to wrap up. We only have a couple of minutes left. Kelly Owensby, I want to go back to you. As a small business, what are the challenges that you face in Orange County?
I think in terms of farming, you know, there are pretty incredible challenges around having high enough profit margins to make things work, which is something that we really focus on a lot at Transplanting Traditions. All the farmers that we work with also work full-time off-farm jobs. Most of them work at UNC. So one thing that we are always looking for support around and are trying to puzzle piece sort of the answer to is how can we provide living wages through farming. And that is a very complicated question with many different parts that affect that. But we have, you know, as Mike talked a lot about, we have a really diverse and wonderful agricultural economy here in Orange County. We have a lot of farmers who are really dedicated to farming and who are doing it at, you know, costs that are hard to manage. It is tricky making a living farming. So that's something that we would love support around, trying to figure that out. How can we piece those different puzzles together to make farming more viable for our farmers in Orange County?
Amanda Garner, more generally, what are the challenges that you see businesses have in Orange County, and what can you do in economic development to support them?
Well, I think part of the conversation that was in the last session and the one prior to that is the workforce issue and making sure that people have the skills that are needed to come into these jobs at a pace where they can immediately help with the employers. I know space, as I mentioned earlier, it's a tight market for new space. So as companies that come through launch or come through the Piedmont Food and Processing Center, as they're ready to go out on their own, it's hard to find locations for them to grow into to be able to pay the market rate. So we're having internal discussions to try and figure out what does that secondary space look like and how can we help move companies forward.
Mike, you're nodding in that?
Yeah, absolutely. Amanda's right. Having sort of a landing pad between the startup, which is kind of nonprofit driven, and the cold, cruel world of market rate rent and that sort of thing, trying to build that infrastructure. But also what I would say in addition to that is the ability to manage. We have a lot of people who are very passionate, have great ideas, whether it's farming, whether it's value-added product in food system, and Piedmont Food Processing is a great example of many of those. They'll have a great idea. The product takes off, and then the store says, we'll take a couple of cases, and next year it says, we want 20 pallets. And suddenly it's a business, and managing that business is a talent that is fairly rare. So the ones that are successful are the ones that have that business mindset. So providing services through DermTech and other entities to sort of support those people as a business is really critical.
And we're out of time, so I can't ask you to say more about the Piedmont Food and Agricultural Center, but if you're listening out there, Google it. It's incredible. Penny Rich, County Commissioner, you had the first word 4 hours ago. I want to give you the last word. Bring it all home. What should we take away from all this?
Thank you so much, everybody. This has been, I've been listening all day long, taking notes. I've been having a great time. I think we really do have some very special people and leaders in our county, and we appreciate when you take time to come out with us and speak with us. And, you know, this is on WCHL, so we'll be able to hear it over and over again so you can hear yourself on the radio later on. It's awesome. But also thanks to WCHL for making this happen. I think it's great, and we can make it better next year.
Barbara Jesse Black, Mike Ortoski, Kelly Owensby, Amanda Garner, Commissioner Penny Rich, thank you so much for being on this, the eighth and final panel of this year's 2019 Orange County Summit. And as Commissioner Rich mentioned, we're already looking forward to 2020. Thanks again to all of our panelists throughout the last 4 hours, to Orange County Government, to the Orange County Board of Commissioners, and to all of you who are either watching on TV or listening on WCHL. And, of course, you can still get all of the audio. It's being put up even as we speak on our website, chapelboro.com. If you want to listen back, if you missed a panel, you can catch that too on chapelboro.com, as well as a lot more information about Orange County, Orange County Government, Orange County Commissioners, and all of the many topics that we covered over the course of the day. But that's it for the 2019 Orange County Summit. I'm Aaron Keck. Thank you and good night.